Hey everyone, it's a pleasant October morning as I'm putting this together, and I hope that you're enjoying comfort as you're watching. I've got a few quiet moments. Let's have a Bible study together. I'm in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So as I was thinking about what to talk about, I came across this verse in one of the poetry books of Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, which says, "I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors. And neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all." Well, I think if we could sum up 2020 in a Bible verse, this would be it right here. Basically, Solomon says, you know what? Sometimes crazy things happen that don't make sense. And that's what's happening here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And certainly as we look around the world today, that's what we see. And we might sum this up as uncertainty. A lot of us feel that, uncertain about what kind of things are going to happen in life. And we might have concerns over any number of things. A person might be concerned about their family or have uncertainty about that, especially if you're a young person thinking about, you know, who should I marry? And if I marry someone, will that person stay faithful to me? What kind of responsibilities might I have in providing? Or, you know, as my parents get older, will I have to care for them as they age or other relatives that I'll have responsibilities to? So person might have feelings of uncertainty towards their family, or perhaps uncertainty at work. Certainly during this time, a lot of people are laid off or staying home during the pandemic. Person maybe who's a young person thinking about what kind of work they want to do. You know, what do I want to do for the rest of my life? What kind of abilities do I have? And can I use that to provide for a family? Or will my job last? Certainly that's something that a lot of people are worried about, especially during this time. Or will I have to move to keep doing the job that I have? And will I make enough money to retire? Person might have uncertainty about the situation with our government. We have an election coming up. You know, you think about our government and someone might ask the question, well, will ours continue? You know, there seems to be a lot of moral and economic decline over the past few years. Will our government continue? Will our country ever be conquered, or will we self-implode? Or if you watch some of the political advertisements, will I have to pay more taxes? That's a concern. People are uncertain about those things. And certainly a person could be uncertain about things, you know, related to themselves. What about my health? You know, during this time of the pandemic, will I catch the virus? Or, you know, as people get older, you might worry about, well, you know, how much longer am I going to live, and how will I die, you know? One of my loved ones may have had this or that disease. I'm worried, am I going to catch that? So I'm uncertain about that. And certainly a person could be uncertain about spiritual concerns as well. Maybe it's for their spouse. Maybe it's for their children, worried about them and their salvation. Or a person might have concerns or be uncertain about the future of the church. Is the church growing? Is the truth being taught? Are the lost obeying the gospel? You know, one of the big questions right now relative to church is, you know, is it even safe to be here at the church building? You look around, if you go to church, some people have masks on. We have security teams and cameras and people watching the parking lots and looking to see who's going to come in. And so a person might think, you know, I'm uncertain. Is it even safe to be at church right now? So there are a lot of things that people are uncertain about. And there are problems that are associated with uncertainty. And I think the first thing is worry. People, when they're uncertain about something, tend to worry about that thing, have anxiety over that thing. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, there Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Well, maybe we don't worry about where our next meal is going to come from or what clothes we're going to wear. But there are people in the world who do worry about that, who don't know where their next meal is going to come from, who are wearing the only clothes that they have. And so think about saying to that person, hey, don't worry about your next meal. Well, they're very concerned about their next meal. They don't know where that's going to come from. And so people worry about those things, and those are certain things to be worried about. Benjamin Franklin said there are only two things in life that are certain, and that's death and taxes. Well, health and finance are certainly two of the things that people worry about the most. And perhaps in our country, especially during this time of the pandemic, health and finance are two of the things that people worry about. Am I going to catch the virus, and how is this pandemic going to affect my job and my ability to make money and pay for the things that I need in life? And so we do worry about these things, and some of these things that we worry about are certain things. You know, spiritually, I worry about the intolerance, what seems to be the increasing intolerance toward Christianity. How will that affect me? And not only me, how will that affect my kids as they grow up? So some of these things that we worry about are things that are certain or seem certain that they will happen. And yet sometimes we worry about things that will never happen. Looking in Mark chapter 16, and there in verse 3, we see that there are some women who are going to the tomb to see the body of Jesus. And we get to peek in on their conversation there in verse 3 where they say, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" So they're worried about, you know, there's this large stone in front of the door. Who's going to move that? And then we get to verse 4, "But when they had looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away." So here they're concerned about something. They're worried about something, and this thing that they're worried about doesn't even take place. And so I think sometimes we worry about things in life that never actually even happen. I'll give you some extreme examples of that. You know, if you watch the news as they talk about the coronavirus and the coverage of that, you know, sometimes they'll raise questions about what if the virus mutates? And maybe you've heard people have that conversation. What if the virus mutates? Could it kill everyone? Or what if, you know, thinking about wars, what if everybody fired their nuclear weapons? You know, you may remember the Cuban Missile Crisis if you're old enough, or just a few years ago, we were worried about North Korea having nuclear weapons. Well, what if they fire theirs and we fire ours and somebody else fires their weapons? I mean, we could all kill each other, die of nuclear winter. You know, people are so worried about it, there's actually a term that exists for it. Or what if an asteroid hits the Earth? You know, a lot of people think the dinosaurs became extinct because of an asteroid. What if that happens again? I promise NASA's watching, looking for an asteroid. What if that hit the planet and killed everyone? People are worried about that. You know, again, putting a spiritual twist on this, what if the church ceased to exist? You know, people don't seem to be as interested in religious matters as they once were. Well, I've got two young kids. What if there's no church when they get old enough to obey? Well, what would happen then? Well, I think sometimes we worry about things that will never happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 16, says there, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So I've mentioned a few extreme things, people worrying about humanity or Christianity coming to an end. Well, I think necessary inference is a huge comfort here. As we just mentioned those few things, but we look at this passage in Thessalonians, we understand that at the end of time, humanity will still be here. There's no way an asteroid is going to kill everyone, or the virus or nuclear weapons or anything like that. And not only will humanity still be here, but Christians will still be here. We understand that when the Lord returns, there will be Christians still on the face of the planet. And not only that, if you look at Matthew chapter 24 and verses 36 through 42, and I won't take the time to read all that, but if you do, you see that when the Lord returns, it's basically going to be life as usual. There'll be people going to weddings and people going to banquets and people farming in the field and people sleeping and people awake. It's just going to be life going on as usual when the Lord returns. And so that's actually a comfort to us. So we understand that there are some things that are uncertain, but sometimes we worry about things that will never take place. And uncertainty leads to fear in our lives. Matthew chapter 8 and starting in verse 23, Jesus and his disciples go out into a boat. And we'll start there in verse 23 where it says, "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Why are you fearful? Well, for Peter and Andrew and James and John, men who were experienced fishermen. This isn't the first time they've ever been in a boat. This isn't like me being in a boat. And then, you know, the boat seems to be rocking a little bit here. I'm a little nervous. These are guys who've been on the boat, you know, maybe their entire lives. You know, two of these men grew up with a father who's a fisherman. And Lord, we know what a storm looks like. We know what this boat is capable of. And if this continues, the boat can't handle this. We're going to go into the sea and we may drown. Why are we fearful? That's why we're fearful. And so fear is actually a natural human response to uncertainty. But they're uncertain in this situation, and uncertainty sometimes leads to fear. And that fear can lead to a type of paralysis, if you will. Ecclesiastes, again, in chapter 11 and verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Now think about this. A farmer goes outside and it's time for harvest, and he looks up and goes, well, cloudy sky, I guess we won't harvest today. Now that's silly. We understand that, you know, but just because we can't do some things doesn't mean we can't do anything. You know, we think about this time that we're living in, and I can't go visit someone that's shut in, and I can't go to a nursing home. In fact, even if a loved one, whether it's my spouse or perhaps even my child, is in the hospital, I can't even go in there. But that doesn't mean I can't do anything. You know, we can always call and check on someone, and we can always take the time to let a person know that we care. So, you know, there are some problems related with uncertainty, but just because we can't do some things doesn't mean we can't do anything. And so I think there's four things as we're studying together that I hope you'll take away from this that we can remember in uncertain times. And the first thing is that, you know, no matter what it is that you're uncertain about, no matter what it is that you're worried about, you're not alone. I want us to think for a second about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. You may remember that Elijah has escaped from Jezebel. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, there at the end of verse 14, he says, I alone am left. He thinks he's the only person that's dealing with this problem. And yet here he is hiding in a cave, and God comes to him. And in verse 18, God tells him, says, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel. And so Elijah's like, you know, God, I'm the only one dealing with it. And God says, no, you're not. There are 7,000 other people who are dealing with the exact same thing that you're dealing with. And, you know, sometimes we make the mistake of looking at someone else and thinking that they don't have any problems, that everything in their life seems to go smoothly. Everyone is dealing with something. Everyone is dealing with something. Maybe it's a health issue that they're dealing with. Maybe it's something in one of their relationships, in their marriage, with their kids, with their brothers or sisters, with their spouse, you know, co-workers, friends, whatever that relationship is. People have problems, and maybe we can't see that, but people are dealing with something. Maybe it's with their finances. Like I said, a lot of people are worried during this time and are struggling financially. Their job has been affected by that pandemic. Or temptation. Temptation is certainly something that all of us struggle with. Now, we're tempted by different things, and just because someone who is tempted by something or we're tempted by something and someone else doesn't seem to be tempted by that doesn't mean that they're not tempted by something. Everyone is dealing with something. And so one of the things we can remember is that when we're going through something, we're not alone. Now, we don't take comfort that the other person is struggling, but we do take comfort knowing that other people have dealt with the same things that we're dealing with. The next thing that we need to remember in uncertain times is that we have a loving father. That we have a loving father. You know, I've got two kids. Olivia's is six and Cal is four. And I love my kids. I love my kids. You know, I could be a better husband, a better son, a better employee. You know, there's a lot of areas in my life that I could try harder, but I don't think I try harder to be anything than I do to be a dad. I really love that. I enjoy that. And I got good kids. You know, my kids, they don't ask for much. And so when they do ask for something, you know, I really try to give them whatever it is that they asked for. And usually it's something small like, hey, Dad, can we go to the park tomorrow? And so I tell them, sure, we'll go to the park tomorrow. And what's amazing with my kids is they have complete belief in me that if I tell them we're going to the park tomorrow, we're going to the park tomorrow. You know, things like weather and stuff like that, they don't worry about that. Dad told us we're going to the park tomorrow, so we must be going to the park. Well, I want to ask, you know, do we have the same confidence in God when God tells us something? You know, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11 says, if you then, being evil, that is being sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? You know, I have a lot of flaws in life, but I love my kids and I want to look out for them and do what's in their best interest. Well, if I do that, how much more does God do that? God who is perfect. We have a loving Father. So then in Matthew chapter 6 and starting there in verse 31, going back to this verse, don't worry then about what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear. Now verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow. So when our loving Father tells us we don't have to worry about those things, he will take care of those things. The question becomes, do we have confidence in him to take care of those things? Another thing to remember in uncertain times is that God shows up in uncertain moments. Now, yes, God is always there, but he really shows up, doesn't he, in uncertain moments? And perhaps that's because we actually seek him in those uncertain moments, maybe when something is needed the most. Psalm 46, and starting there in the first verse, David says, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. He is a present help in trouble. Well, maybe that's because we go looking for God when there's trouble. You think about those 10 lepers in the Bible who came looking for Jesus. When they had leprosy, they came looking for him. But when their leprosy was gone, only one of them came back. You know, sometimes when things are going well, even though God is still there, maybe we forget about God. But God shows up in uncertain moments, in hopeless moments. You know, you think about the children of Israel when they leave Egypt. They come to the Red Sea. The Egyptian army has now pursued them. So you're between the Red Sea and this Egyptian army. That's a pretty uncertain moment for them. And yet that's when God shows up and divides the water. And so we think about the things that might happen in our life when we're seemingly against great odds. You think about those Old Testament battles where there were just a few people, a few Israelites against a great army, and yet God showed up. And so when there's uncertain moments in our life, God shows up. Again, maybe that's because we look for him in those uncertain moments. But that's one of the things we can remember, is that God shows up in those uncertain moments. And it's during those uncertain moments, and this will be our last point, it's during those uncertain moments when our faith really grows, when we turn to God and we rely on his wisdom. You think about what Joseph said about his brothers there in Genesis chapter 50, and in verse 20, he says, you meant evil against me, but God meant for good in order to bring this present result. So he says, you know, something that was bad, God used it for good. This uncertain moment in my life, God used it to bring about what he wanted. Paul said this about his chains there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. You see verse 14 there, he says that most have far more courage because of seeing the things that he was dealing with. And it wasn't just those chains that he dealt with. We also know that he had that thorn, whatever that was. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there starting in verse 9, Paul has asked that this thorn, whatever it is, be removed. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Power is perfected in weakness. It's when we're uncertain, it's when we're weak, that our faith actually grows. Verse 10 says there, therefore I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So an uncertain time reminds us to turn to a very certain God, doesn't it? And as we conclude with our study, I think there's really two things here. The first is that we need to have faith. We need to have faith in the things that God has told us when moments are uncertain. Romans chapter 8 and starting there in verse 38, There, Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He says, no matter what happens, no matter what uncertain thing happens, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Now, we can have faith in that. When moments seem hopeless, we know that God still loves us and that He is still there for us. And yet, still, we must do some things to prepare. You know, you think about getting into a car. I don't worry about having a wreck every time I get into a car, but the first thing I do is put my seatbelt on. And so we still prepare for uncertainty ahead. And there, you know, one thing that is certain is that all people will die and face the judgment. And so we need to be prepared for that. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you." You know, there's some things in life that are uncertain, but one thing we all need to be certain about is our salvation. And that's one of the things that we need to be prepared for, and it's the most important thing that we need to be prepared for. We need to be certain about His calling and choosing us. I appreciate you tuning in. I hope this has been beneficial to you. Also, I hope that you have a great day, and God bless.